That's so very much, and appreciate my friend, Brother Morgan Lester. I appreciate the guys that I went to Bible college with that didn't go Calvinist, did not go contemporary, and did not go complacent to the work of God. And I appreciate him so much. Thank you, Brother Morgan Lester, for staying in the fight and being a Bible preacher today. Man, I travel this country from coast to coast, from sea to shining sea. And I tell you what, there's some churches out there in some bad shape. I mean, really bad shape. And I'm glad for the men of God who are still holding the line and doing a good job. And thank God so much for you guys being here on a Sunday morning. And man, I'm just thankful that you're faithful to the house of God. You know, I worry about some people, because when I got saved, God did such a work in my heart. You guys have 2 Corinthians 5:17 up here on the walls. I love that verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And before I got saved, I had no desire to go to church whatsoever. I mean, you know, you could not have drugged me to church. I didn't care if you was having pony rides or bouncy houses or nothing. I didn't care. I wasn't going. I just wasn't going. But when I got truly born again, when God changed my life from the inside out, I became a new creature. And when you become a new creature, you have new desires. You have new dispositions. You have a new destination that you're going to. And listen, when I got saved, I didn't care if you wasn't having pony rides or bouncy houses or whatever. I was going to church anyway. Amen. And I didn't care what the weather was. I was going to go to church. This past Sunday, I got saved in 2001. And this past Sunday, two Sundays ago, I had the flu. And I was running a fever. I could not go to church. And that was the second time in 18 years that I have missed church on Sunday. Amen. And so you pray for me that God will help me be faithful someday. Amen. And help me get all that together. I should maybe resign the ministry after being that unfaithful to church. Amen. But I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here today. And just want to give you just a little update on our ministry, what God is doing. We've been working in Nairobi the past few years. And I tell you, God has been blessing our Nairobi ministry. What we do is we plant churches with national pastors. And when I say national pastors, what I'm speaking of is I'm speaking of guys who are native to the area, guys who they can speak the language, they can drink the water, they know the culture, and they don't have to overcome certain obstacles to be accepted in the culture. If you take them and teach them the Word of God and allow them to go and reach their own people, they can do a better job than you and I can do. They really can. And because of that, we've seen tremendous success in the country of Kenya and Uganda. Right now, we have seen 150 churches started to God's glory, and it has been exciting to see that. One of the churches that we have started is called the Mwamuto Outreach Baptist Church. Say that word three times fast. Amen. The Mwamuto Outreach Baptist Church is in a town right west of Nairobi, right outside the Nairobi County line, and we have been able to work with a man named Edwin Mwaka. Say that three times fast. Amen. And Edwin is a good man. He's a Bible preacher, and he's solid in the faith. If he lived in Knoxville, Tennessee, he would probably go to Ball Road Baptist Church. I mean, he's just a good guy, solid guy. And we've been able to establish the Mwamuto Outreach Baptist Church with Brother Edwin Mwaka as the pastor. Well, Brother Edwin started with about 10 people, and he went around and he started knocking doors and telling people about his church and telling people about Jesus. I've gone soul winning with Brother Edwin several times, and he is a tremendous soul winner and a great Bible preacher. Well, right now, Brother Edwin is not running 20 people anymore. He's running about 180 people right now. And God is using his life in a tremendous way. We are trying to move forward with a land purchase there in Nairobi. The plot of land that we have picked out is about a quarter of an acre, and it is in a downtown urban setting, and so land prices are a little bit more there, but it's totally worth it. I mean, there are literally, within 1 mile radius of his church, there's probably 1 million people in that area. And he's going around knocking doors and doing a great job. And so we're trying to move forward on a land purchase for them. One quarter acre of land will cost right at $35,000. $100,000. And so I want you to help us pray that we can raise the money for this land. Brother Edwin is doing a great job. He's worthy of that. And so what we're doing, we're asking God to help us with 35 churches that'll donate $1,000. Or if we get 70 churches to donate $500, that would be great. So you help us pray for that need. Pray that God would meet that need. And we're going to move forward for that, for God's glory. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's so many people who have never heard what you and I have heard. They never have heard that. And I'm burdened today because in Nairobi, there's a lot of religion. There's a lot of religion, but there's very little truth being preached today in Nairobi. And we want to try to do the best we can while we still have time. I want you to take your Bibles, please, to John chapter 4 this morning. John chapter 4. And I'm going to read a few verses, and then we're going to pray and ask God to help us here in this hour. Is this water for me right here? Are you using that? Okay, amen. That's fine. Amen. Praise the Lord. John chapter number 4, and if you'll stand with me for just a moment, we'll read a few verses together. And I promise I'll get you out of here before 2 o'clock this afternoon, this morning. And that will be good. I got my phone here telling me the time. Amen. We're doing good. John chapter 4 is a great passage of Scripture where the Lord Jesus is dealing with a woman at the well, a Samaritan woman. And He's dealing with her, and man, God is speaking to her heart, and He's dealing with her about her sin. Look in verse number 14 of John 4. The Bible says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And so He talks to her about, man, you know, you've got some physical water there, but there's some spiritual water that you don't have. And the problem with the world today is that they're missing something. They really are. They have boats, they have houses, they have lands, they have jobs, but you know, even despite having all that, they know that they're somehow, some way missing something. And they say here in verse number 15, the woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." And so the Lord Jesus deals with her. But look what it says after this woman, she realizes who Christ is. In verse number 26, Jesus said unto her, "I that speak unto thee am He." And upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her?" The woman then left her water pot and went into the city and saith unto the men, "Come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they came out of the city, and they went out of the city and came unto Him. So this woman's going around telling people that this is the Messiah that we've talked about. This is the Savior, the Son of God. She creates a big stir. And by the way, thank God for people that'll stir it up a little bit. Amen. We got too many secret agents for Jesus today. There's too many James Bond Christians going undercover for Jesus. And what we need is some folks that'll be loud and man, just tell everybody, "Hey, I know the Lord. He speaks to me. I talked to Him today." That's what we need in society today. Amen. But look what it says there in verse number 35. It says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he say, he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. But he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." Look in verse number 35. It says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." And I want to speak to you this morning and share my heart with you for Kenya and for Nairobi. And I want to speak to you on its harvest time. It's harvest time, ladies and gentlemen. And let's pray and ask God to help us this very morning. Father, I love You and I thank You so much for the opportunity to preach the Word of God. Lord, when I got saved, I never would have thought that You'd ever let me stand behind a pulpit and preach the Word of God. I didn't think You'd ever use me in such a way, but thank You, Lord, You've counted me faithful. Lord, You put me in the ministry. Lord, You've opened up doors for me. You You've allowed me to speak in churches all across this country and even in Africa, Lord, and I'm so thankful for that. God, today I stand where I need You. I need Your divine grace and help to empower me, to use me this morning. Lord, I've tried to preach without You, God, and it never works, and it never has worked, and it never will work. And God, I pray that You'd help me this morning to preach with the touch of God upon my life and upon my soul. God, I pray that You'd just give me favor with the people, and Lord, may their hearts be receptive to the message that You have for us today. And God, I pray that as I preach, You'd help my mind to think clearly and help my mouth to speak clearly the wonderful truths of the Word of God. And Lord, I do pray as we talk about the work of God and what You've called us to, that You'd burden hearts, Lord, to not just sit and observe, but Lord, to be involved and in the work of God. And God, I pray You give me wisdom as I preach. Help me to say everything You'd have me to say, and help me to say it the right way and articulate the Word of God truly and clearly to these people. And God, I pray as we give an invitation in a little while, may hearts be touched, may people come to an altar, and most importantly, Lord, may lives be changed. May people make a decision to obey the Lord and to enlist in the work of God one more time and to do what You'd have us to do. Lord, help us to be obedient to You in this matter of reaching the world with the gospel. Help us today for Your glory and for Your sake, Lord. Help us today. We love You so much. And God, we bless You and praise You for all You're going to do. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. I talk about this passage of Scripture, and I realize here that the Lord Jesus is speaking about a harvest, and He uses, if you will, some figurative language, and He says, look at all these people that are coming, and realize that there is a harvest of souls that could be had now in this age. And I want to tell you today, that's the problem with a lot of churches today, is a lot of churches have lost sight of our purpose and our job here as God's people. We are not here to just kind of enjoy a journey, if you will. I mean, listen, I'm enjoying my Christianity and I love the Christian life, but can I tell you, we have a duty, we have a job here today, and I think a lot of churches today have lost sight of that. Just as, if you will, the disciples here, they're talking to the Lord Jesus and they're marveling that this woman is speaking to the Lord, that He's talking to this degenerate Samaritan woman. They're shocked to death that He's even talking to her, but the Lord has to point out something. Guys, all you see is the outside, but you need to put your spiritual lenses on, and you need to realize there's a grand opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ here to these people. And can I tell you today, you and I live in a society where people are so dark and so wicked. I mean, this abortion stuff that's going on today has just refreshed my mind about how people are so dark and so hard today. I mean, this country is absolutely on a death spiral with God. I mean, we are in a mess. People are wanting to abort babies up until the day of their birth. I'm talking about, we got some sick, degenerate people running this country today, and we've got some people, the Bible says, who are past feeling, meaning they don't even have any basic feelings of common decency anymore, and there are people in this world that they will kill you, they'd kill your family, they'd burn your house down and go home and sleep like a baby. That's how wicked this world is today. But we need to put our spiritual lenses on and realize that, you know, it is dark. It is dark out there, but this is a grand opportunity for us to shine our light for the glory of Jesus Christ and for the work of the gospel. You see a degenerate nation, but I see an opportunity to reach a large number of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me give you 4 points today, and then I'm kind of hungry, so I want to go eat here in just a little while. Y'all pray for me. I'm always hungry. I have a problem. In World War II, they fought the Battle of the Bulge, and I'm fighting that battle today too. Amen. You pray for me, but I'm kind of hungry, so I'm going to try to preach as short as I possibly can, and being a Baptist preacher, that really means nothing. Amen. But number one today, I want to preach to you on the subject of the work of the harvest. The work of the harvest. Go with me to the book of Acts, and we're going to start where just see how the church got started, and we're going to talk about how things are happening here in the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. The Bible says, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 5,000 souls. Amen. They were preaching and people were repenting and getting saved, and God was doing a work in their hearts. Go to Acts chapter 5, and let's go look at the end of that chapter there. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. I want you to see this, okay? The Bible says in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach." What does that say, church? Jesus Christ. Amen. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Go to Acts chapter 6 and verse number 7. The Bible says here, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Go to Acts chapter 8 and verse number 45. I want you to see this. Acts 8, 45. The Bible says here, Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Amen. That's not 4, 45. There's not even a verse 45 there. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 4 and 5, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached." What does he preach, church? He preached Christ unto them. Amen. Can I tell you this morning, the church paid for me to stay in a nice Holiday Inn hotel. Amen. Thank God for churches that don't put me in roach motels. Glory to God. There's been some hotels I've had to stay in at night, and me and my wife, we'd have to take turns staying up and fighting roaches away from the bed. Amen. She'd go sleep an hour and I'd fight roaches, and I'd go sleep an hour and she'd fight roaches. But thank God I got to stay in a nice hotel last night, and there was a jacuzzi down there. I didn't use the jacuzzi, but because I'm a fundamentalist, amen, and we don't believe in such wickedness, amen. But y'all put me in a nice hotel, man. I tell you what, thank God. And I got up this morning, and there was a Keurig machine in my room, and I brewed me some Keurig coffee. Glory to God. If you don't like coffee, then take me off your list too, amen. Coffee is the lifeblood of my spirituality. The Holy Ghost and coffee is why I've been able to stay in it this long, amen. And but I'm telling you, I got up, brewed some coffee. Then I went downstairs to the breakfast area, and man, they had omelets, and I thought I was in the Taj Mahal or something. They had omelets, and they had pancakes, and they had all kinds. They had those Cinnabon things in there. Man, glory to God. I laid off that, man. Praise God, because I don't want to fight the battle of the bulge any more than I have to. Amen. And and so they had a wonderful thing. And I got me two plates of breakfast food. Thank God. And I began to sit it down. And I went over and got me another cup of coffee, because you got to have at least 8 cups of coffee before you get up preaching a Baptist church, amen. And you got to because you kind of have to overcome the frost that everybody brings in on them spiritually every morning, amen. And so I got up and I was sitting there, and they had pork sausage there, they had turkey sausage. I tried a piece of that turkey sausage, and man, that was weird. I didn't like that stuff. And but the pork sausage, God was in that pork sausage, and I was eating that pork sausage, having a good time. All of a sudden, the news came on. I started watching the news, and the local television station was covering a local church here in the area. They were modernist, and they had some sissy preacher get up there, and they said, "You know, ladies and gentlemen, the so-and-so church here in town." I don't even know what kind of church it was, but the broadcast made me so mad. They said that the so-and-so church today is having a Super Bowl drive here on Super Bowl Sunday. And some effeminate, wiggly preacher got up there and said, you know, it's just a shame that us Americans would take this day to enjoy the Super Bowl when there's poor people in this town don't even have a bowl of soup. And so today we're gonna go around and we're gonna just cancel all the activities of this ministry today, and we're just gonna pour soup for these poor needy homeless people today, and that's what we're gonna do. And it's just gonna be good. This is what Christ would have done if he was around today. And I'm sitting there thinking, that ain't what they did in the book of Acts. I don't see the Apostle Paul saying, would you like cream of cheddar, or would you like vegetable soup? I don't see that kind of junk in the book of Acts. Can I tell you, there are churches today who are doing nothing more than good deeds in the name of Jesus, and they're doing nothing more than making the world a better place from which to die and go to hell. Can I tell you that God did not call the church to be the soup kitchen of the world? Let the Boys and Girls Club do that. Let the Red Cross do that. Let the Lions Club do that. But I'm telling you, the church today has a job. It is called preaching Jesus Christ to the world. That is our job. And we are not called to be some do-good society. We are called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, my dear friend. I'm sitting there watching all these people come by and they're preparing soup and all this kind of, and then a bunch of women dressed like the world preparing soup and getting ready to feed all these poor homeless people and probably not even going to give them the gospel. I'm going to tell you something. I wonder sometimes what God thinks when He looks down at stuff like that. Can I tell you, the work of the harvest is not to be do-gooders, although we should be nice people. The work of the harvest is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people can have an opportunity to accept or reject Jesus and be saved. That's the work of the harvest today. I want you to hear me today. I wrote this down. The church was not designed to entertain the masses. The church was designed to evangelize the masses. Can I tell you, that's our job. That's our job. We are not, listen, churches today have gone into the entertainment business. They've gone into the entertainment business, and you know who fills up the most, puts the most people in the pews? It's the funniest preacher in town. All he does is get up and tell funny jokes and be inspirational, being nice and smiley and wear a nice suit, and that's all he does. And he can fill up a building, and can I tell you, most of those people are dying and going to hell anyway. Lost without God, trying to entertain the masses and not evangelize the message. And someone said years ago said that the church used to be a rescue ship, but now the church is nothing more than a cruise ship. I got a pamphlet the other day. It was a trifold, and it was a Southern Baptist church that's local in our area. And it said, "What can FBC offer for you?" And I opened it up and I said, "Well, what can FBC offer for me?" By the way, I hate this FBC stuff. I go to Lighthouse Baptist Church. I don't go to LBC. I go to Lighthouse Baptist Church. And by the way, a lot of these slick preachers are talking about, you know, they pastor something like Emmaus Baptist Church and they just call it Emmaus, you know. And listen, I like the word Baptist. Hallelujah to God. I like the word Baptist. I like that word. Some of y'all think I'm crazy, but I like the word Baptist because that's what I am. Glory to God. Some of you aren't listening anymore. Amen. But I looked at it and I said, "What does FBC have to offer for me?" And I opened it up, and there was a swimming pool, Olympic sized swimming pool, so you can go swim at your local church. And then there was a gym, and then there was a nursery daycare facility, which thank God for nurseries, that's all good. But there was like a daycare during the week there. And then there was a Pilates class on Thursday night, where you know all these women can get together and gossip about their husbands and do about 5 minutes of working out and burn off all them hot dogs they've been eating during the week. Amen. And can I tell you? But listen, the church, Jesus Christ, did not go to a cross of Calvary and shed His blood so that you could have a place to have Pilates every Thursday night.
Yep. Amen, brother.
He didn't do that. Jesus Christ shed His blood and created something called the church so that the church could go forth and do His work of preaching Jesus to all the nations. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm burdened about that because a lot of churches are getting off track and getting off kilter and letting the world die and go to hell. That's the work of the harvest. Let me say number two real fast. Everybody okay? Can I have a vote of confidence real fast? Can you raise your hand if you think I'm doing okay? Raise your hand. All right, that was about 40%. Amen. All right. I'll take that. Amen. That's the best vote I've got in a few weeks. Amen. The work of the harvest is to preach the gospel and the saving of souls. But let me say number two, there's a window of the harvest. In Isaiah chapter number 55, if you have a second, I want to go there. I want to read a verse to you. Isaiah chapter 55 is a great passage of Scripture in the Bible. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, verses number 5 and 6, it says here, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." The Bible says, seek the Lord while He may be found. What I'm trying to tell you today, ladies and gentlemen, is that there's a window of the harvest. I like that phrase, while He may be found, meaning this, that you don't have forever. You don't have forever. There are deadlines in life
And there are deadlines with God. And there are deadlines where if you do not do certain things by a certain time, then it'll never be done. And can I tell you today that there is a deadline in life? People are dying every day. While the church is sitting around in America entertaining ourselves, the world is dying and going to hell all around us. People are being killed. People are being hurt. Children are being warped while we wait. There are people out there who are living such horrible, depraved lives. And if somebody in a church would care enough to go out and reach them, they could be rescued from all that. But we wait and we wait and we wait. And every time I see something on the news of a shooting or somebody getting killed or somebody going to jail, I always think, where was the church that should have rescued that family? Where was the church that should have gone and knocked on that door? Where was the soul winner that should have gone and helped that man so he wouldn't have gotten to that point where he did something crazy and insane like he did? Where was these people? And can I tell you, there's a window in the harvest. I'm going to tell you a story. A couple years ago, matter of fact, it was probably about 7 years ago, I had a car that was getting up in miles, and it was getting to where it was, it really wasn't worth it to fix it anymore. So I did what every good person does. I just put it on Craigslist and just say, hey, does anybody want this car? Because, you know, I'm getting ready, you know, the car's worth about $1,000 now, and I'm getting ready to have to do $1,500 worth of work on it. So I thought maybe I would just pass this piece of junk on to somebody else and let it be somebody else's problem. And a man contacted me, said, yeah, I'd love to buy that thing. And it was a Nissan Pathfinder. And he contacted me and we met for a little while. And he told me, he said, I just had heart surgery. And he said, I'm going to have to go to these heart doctors. And I'm having a lot of problems and this, that, the other. And he said, I just need a good SUV to drive back and forth to the doctor with. And I said, okay, that's fine. And the Lord really put it on my heart before I went and met this man. I put Chick tracks in that Pathfinder. Y'all know what the Chick tracks are, right? Them comic book tracks. I mean, I had a stack like that big of those things there. I probably had 20 of them in there for that guy, wrapped around with a rubber band. And I had a whole Bible. Somebody gave me a whole Bible. I gave him a whole King James Bible and a couple other gospel tracts. And man, he bought that thing from me. He actually traded me a handgun and a few other things. It was really awesome. It was a sweet deal. I got an air compressor, a MacBook Pro computer, and a handgun. And I said, yes, sir, I'll take all of those. Thank you very much. And praise God. It was awesome. And matter of fact, I think I came out ahead in that deal. Amen. That was really awesome. But you know, I talked to that man. I said, sir, I said, you know, there's a heaven and there's a hell. And I said, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And we started talking about that for a little while. And the long story short, he was not saved. He had not gotten saved ever. And I said, sir, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. And I tried to talk to him about that, and we tried to share the gospel with him. And he told me, the last thing he ever told me, he said, Spencer, thank you for the car. He said, you give me a lot to think about, and I really do appreciate that. And listen, can I tell you, people appreciate you showing concern for their souls. I don't know what we're scared of. I really don't. People will appreciate you showing concern for them. And I got a letter. He bought the car, drove off. He did not get saved. I got a letter in the mail about a month later. Somebody in his family had wrote me a letter saying, our father died not long ago, and we were trying to find out what you had traded with him so that we could try to divide our father's things up after he died. And I had that letter in my hand, and I said, oh God, I'm glad I witnessed to that man before he died. I said, I'm glad that I shared the gospel with this guy before he died. I mean, listen, what if I had kept my mouth shut? What if I had kept my mouth shut? Then that man, I may have been the last person, Christian person he had ever spoken to in his life. What if I had not said anything? And he'd have died and gone to hell and his blood would be on my hands. I said, thank God, I'm glad I witnessed to that guy while I had a chance. And can I tell you today that, we don't have forever. We don't have forever. We've got to do something while there's still time. Recently, there was a shooting in Nairobi. Some of you might have seen that in the news. There, three Somalian men armed to the teeth with guns and all kinds of stuff went into a hotel in Nairobi and just started shooting people, just blowing people away. And it wasn't very far from where one of our churches is. And 21 people lost their life that day. It took 10 hours to end that situation because nobody in Kenya has any weapons or anything. They had to wait for the military to show up and shoot these three guys. And it was a horrible situation. And I sat there and I saw that in the news and I thought, oh God, these people are dying and going to hell right in the shadow of the steeple of our churches. I want to do everything while I still can, ladies and gentlemen. I want to do everything while I still can and while there's still time. I want to reach people with the gospel. I talked to you about the work of the harvest, the window of the harvest. Let me check my time. Okay, we're not doing good on time. I'm going to hurry up real fast, okay, because I'm kind of hungry. Amen. Y'all pray for me. The work of the harvest, the window of the harvest. Go to Matthew chapter number 9. I want to give you the woe of the harvest. Matthew 9 says this. Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 37 says this. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Can I tell you that when I've discovered this about church planting in Africa, lots of times we go into an area and we preach the gospel, and we find that in these remote villages, there's already a cult there. Somebody's already there. Matter of fact, we drove into Uganda. We drove 4 hours into the most remote village in Uganda you could ever ask for. I mean, I drove into a village where they have never seen white people ever in their life. I mean, I'm talking about it was so far out there, I thought King Kong was going to come over the mountain and start throwing trees at us. I mean, we were so far out there. They had never had running water in their life. They don't have cell phones. They don't have electricity. They have nothing. We are so far out in Uganda. And we started the very first Baptist church in that town. Amen. Praise God. But can I tell you, up on the hill across the valley over there, there was a little building with a steeple on top of it. You know what that was? That was the Catholic Church. Catholic Church is already there. And we're not. And I thought to myself, we got to do a better job. There's so many places we need to go. There's so many places we've got to go to. And matter of fact, I just told you about Brother Edwin Mwaka and his church there in Mwamuto. The Mwamuto Outreach Baptist Church is right next door to a Kingdom Hall, Jehovah's Witness place. Amen. They went around and showed me three properties. They said, Spencer, we can rent here, we can rent here, and we can rent here. And the third one they showed me was right next door to a Kingdom Hall. I said, we're going to rent this piece of property, and this is where our church is going to get started. Amen. They said, well, it's right next door to a Kingdom Hall. I said, that's exactly why it needs to be right there. Amen. And so I don't know about you guys, but I use on my cell phone, I use Google Maps. Y'all ever use that before, try to find a place and stuff like that? I travel a lot, so I use my phone as a GPS. And a matter of fact, at that moment, I actually happened to have cell phone reception there in Nairobi, and I started looking at where we were in the Google Maps there, and I realized that there's a marker there for that Kingdom Hall building. And you know, like with Google Maps, if you go to a restaurant and you have a bad experience, you can leave a review, okay? You know what I'm talking about? How many of you have ever done that before online or anything, okay? I've done that. And so I took my phone and I left a review for the Kingdom Hall. You can rate them by 1 to 5 stars. I put a 1-star rating and I typed in there on that Kingdom Hall. I said, this is a false church that preaches a false Jesus and a false gospel. I said, if you believe the teachings of the Kingdom Hall cult, you will die and you will go to hell. Period. And then I said, but the good news is we've started a new church right next door called the Mwamuto Outreach Baptist Church. And if you come to this church, you can be saved and hear the true gospel and go to heaven. Send. I sent the review. Amen. And it was awesome. Well, I went home from Africa. And Brother Edwin Mwaka called me on my cell phone. And he said, Brother Spencer, I need to talk to you real quick. He said, did you put something online somewhere? I said, yeah. I said, I put something online from that Kingdom Hall. He said, well, that explains everything. I said, why? What's happening, Brother Edwin? He said, well, the Kingdom Hall did not have church on Sunday. They all came to my church on Sunday. And he said, I had about 200 angry Jehovah's Witnesses in my service, and they was all looking for the white man, Spencer Smith. And I said, well, glory to God. And he said, it was very scary, Brother Spencer. I said, well, what'd you do? And I said, what did you do, Edwin? He said, well, he said, I got up and I told them, you guys preach a false gospel, you preach a false Jesus, and you people are going to die and go to hell if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Amen. And he said, I just preached the gospel to them. And they got madder and madder and madder and madder. And he said it was like there was a riot in my own church. I mean, we had 40 church people and had 200 Jehovah's Witnesses there. And I just preached the gospel to them. And he said, most of them got up and left. But he said, about 15 of them stayed behind.
Amen.
And said, tell us more about this. And he said, I had to take a couple weeks and work with these people. But he said, 15 of those Jehovah's Witnesses got saved. Amen. And joined my church. Amen. They quit going over there and they joined my church. And he said that Kingdom Hall started about 200 people going regular on Sunday morning. But right now they run about 25. Amen. We have ruined that Kingdom Hall. We have ruined that thing. Amen. And I'm telling you, thank God. I'm praying that they vacate the whole thing and burn it down. I'll help them burn it. I'll provide the gas to burn it down. Amen. That'll be awesome. Glory to God. But can I tell you, listen, we have success story after success story after success story just like that. But we got a lot of places that need more churches just like that. Amen. Listen, the church can do the job that it's supposed to do if we will move it forward and help it. Amen. That's the work of the harvest, the window of the harvest, the woe of the harvest. Let me give you this lastly real quick because some of you aren't listening anymore. Amen. And I'm kind of hungry. The wonder of the harvest. Acts chapter 8, the book of Acts chapter 8, Philip went down, and I'll just summarize it up for you. He went down and met with an Ethiopian eunuch man, and he told the man, the Bible says he preached unto him Jesus, and guess what, that Ethiopian man, he got saved and trusted Christ as a Savior, got baptized right there on the very spot right there in the river. And can I tell you, God used Philip to see that man get saved. And can I tell you, here's the wonder of the harvest. Here's how good it is. Amen. God will use you to bring others to Himself. God will do that. God will do that. Every time I go to Kenya, I preach open air meetings and people come forward and get saved. And the next year I'll go back and somebody will come up to me with tears in their eyes and they'll say, Brother Spencer, do you remember me? And I don't remember them. I see so many faces over there. They all become a blur to me. Amen. And I'll say, no, I don't remember you. And they'll come up to me and say, Spencer, they'll say, last year you went and preached an open air meeting in Bungoma, Kenya, and I was over there working on my stand, and I heard you from across the street, and I heard you preach the gospel, and I came forward during that meeting, and I got saved, and I've been faithful to church ever since. And they'll say, Spencer, thank you for coming and preaching the gospel to us. Spencer, thank you for sharing about Jesus with us. Spencer, thank you for coming and preaching the death, burial, and resurrection to us. You've changed our lives. God's done a great work in our life. And can I tell you, that's the wonder of the harvest. Why would God use me? I'm nothing more than a C student from North Georgia. I'm nothing more than a teenager public school kid that got saved, that God sent to Bible college. And after they paroled me from Bible college, I went off and just started preaching. I don't have a pedigree in the ministry. I'm not the son of a famous preacher. I'm just a guy going out there trying to do God's will with my life. And that's the wonder of it all, is that God would let me have a hand in what He's doing. I can't believe it. I heard a professional athlete got signed with a big contract and he cried and he said, I'm living my dream. And I feel the same way, man. I'm living my dream. Going around preaching and seeing people saved. That's the wonder of the harvest. And I preach to people all the time and I think they've lost the wonder of it all. That Jesus would shed His blood for you and die for you, and put you in a church, and then let you spend your days telling others about it. Have you lost the wonder of the harvest today? I wonder, let's pray together. Father, please bless now in the rest of this service. I pray You'd speak to our hearts and help us. God, do a work in our lives. Heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking, please. I'm going to ask the pastor to come do it. He will with the invitation. But I want to ask you, have you lost the wonder of it all today, church? Have you lost the wonder of it all? Listen, the world has not heard because God's people have never been stirred. And you need to get stirred and man, excited again about the things of God. Father, bless the invitation. Help us now, Jesus. We love You today in Jesus' name. Preacher, whatever you want to do.
Amen. We've heard of
death, burial, and resurrection of Christ.
What I'm referring to. See, I look out through here this morning, most of you, I know your testimony. I know you're my brother or my sister in Christ. Yet the truth is that far too often we rejoice in our own salvation and never once think about anybody else's. I'm going to tell you this morning, I agree with what this preacher's preached. I'm not against going out and serving soup as long as it gets in the gospel. But I'm going to tell you, I know what he knows in these churches today and believers today, they're not doing that. Can I tell you something, Brother Spencer? I remember years ago, I was younger and I wound up going with a friend over to a large Southern Baptist church here in this area. And they were doing a thing where they were taking shoe boxes and sending them to Africa, of all places. And it was meant to go to the kids and help the kids. We were supposed to put dolls in there and socks in there and things like that. And they said, all right, we want everybody to get a box and we want you to fill it up. Go out and buy things and fill it up and send it. And I thought, well, you know, that's not a bad thing. And I thought I went and grabbed me one. And then I asked one of the workers there, I said, now, do you all put the gospel in here? Do you all put a tract in? Should I get one? And they said, oh, no. You can't do that. Said, they won't let us send them if you do that.